The air in the valley of Dodona was thick with the scent of wild thyme and damp earth. A young farmer named Nicomedes stood shivering in the dark, his hands gripped tightly around a spotless white goat. For months, a deep wasting sickness had settled into his chest. His breath caught like jagged glass. His limbs were hollow, and the local physicians had given up. He had walked for 7 days to reach this valley, the home of the oldest oracle in Greece. He didn't see a marble temple or a gold-plated shrine. He saw only a colossal primordial oak tree, its deep roots gripping the bones of the earth, its branches completely surrounded by tripods holding heavy bronze cauldrons. As a sudden violent wind swept down from Mount Maros, the entire valley erupted in a chorus of metallic sound. The bronze cauldrons clanged against one another, sending a ringing hypnotic vibration straight through the soles of Nicomedes' bare feet. Above the metal, the thousands of oak leaves rustled like the rushing of a subterranean river. From the shadows of the tree trunk stepped a barefoot priestess. Her eyes were wide, staring deeply into the dark. She didn't speak with her own voice. Her mouth opened and a resonant echoing cadence poured forth. "The Lord of Thunder has heard your rattle," she intoned, her eyes locking onto the sick man. "But Zeus does not hold the cup of your recovery. Take your blade, spill the crimson life of your flock, and pour the libation not to Olympus, but to the shadows below. Sacrifice to Achelous. Let her cool waters wash the poison from your blood." Nicomedes knelt, the bronze chimes ringing in his ears, knowing that out in the darkness, an invisible goddess was already unrolling a silver thread of relief. Today we are traveling to the misty mountains Epirus region of northwestern Greece. We're stepping backward into the deepest fog of antiquity to meet a minor, elusive, yet profoundly beautiful lunar goddess whose very name was whispered as an antidote to suffering. Her name is Achelous, and her name carries a literal, radical promise: she who washes away pain. To understand who Achelous is, we do have to directly look at where she operated. She is inextricably tied to the Oracle of Dodona, located in northwestern Greece. Now, if you ask most people to name an ancient Greek oracle, they'll immediately point you to Delphi, where the Pythia sat over a volcanic chasm, inhaling fumes and babbling prophetic verses. But long before Delphi ever rose to prominence, there was Dodona. Dating back as far as 2000 BC, Dodona is widely recognized by historians and classicists as the oldest Hellenic oracle in existence. The cosmology of the people of Dodona was intensely animistic. They believed that the divine didn't communicate through abstract theology, but through the immediate physical voice of nature. At the center of this sacred site was the Peleii, the whispering oak tree. The priests and the priestesses, they were known as Seloi. They slept directly on the bare earth, and they never washed their feet. And this was a ritual practice designed to keep them in this unbroken, uninterrupted electrical circuit with the raw currents of the earth goddess. So how did they divine? They practiced a beautiful form of clairaudience. They would sit beneath the oak and listen to the rustling of the leaves. To amplify the subtle whispers of the wind, they hung bronze pieces or bronze cauldrons close together from these branches. When the wind blew, these pieces would knock against each other, creating a continuous resonant chiming sound that historians compare directly to modern wind chimes. The priests would interpret these metallic frequencies and the rustling leaves to write down answers on small lead tablets, many of which have been unearthed by modern archaeologists. And this is where Achelous makes her remarkable entrance directly into the historical record. The Oracle of Dodona was technically dedicated to Zeus and the primal mother goddess Dion, yet time and time again, when desperate pilgrims came to the Oracle begging for an end to their physical ailments or plagues, or even begging for an end to their chronic suffering, the Oracle didn't tell them to pray harder to Zeus. The Lent tablets reveal a consistent, specific command: make sacrifices and offer prayers to Acheloas. Think about this cosmic hierarchy here. Zeus, the supreme ruler of the cosmos, uses his highest oracle to delegate the work of somatic healing to Acheloas. She was viewed as this practical executioner of comfort, the specialized cosmic surgeon who could step into a mortal's physical form and actively sweep away the energetic signatures of pain. When we look at the genealogical records of ancient Greece, Acheloas presents a fascinating mythological puzzle. She doesn't have a single clean origin story. Instead, she possesses multiple lineages that reveal her deep, multi-layered archetypal power. So let's break down her three distinct identities in classical lore. Number one, she is the lunar healing daughter. So in the first tradition, Acheloas is identified as a vital deity of the moon and its monthly cycles. In the ancient world, the moon was intimately connected to the fluid dynamics of the human body, that being menstruation, fertility, the movement of blood, and the swelling of tissues. Because of this profound connection to physical wellness, she's often cited as the daughter of Asclepius, the legendary god of medicine, and Apeione, the goddess of the soothing of pain. So this places Acheloas in a divine medical family alongside famous sister goddesses like Hygieia, who is the goddess of cleanliness and hygiene, and Panacea, the universal remedy. So while her sisters represented the long-term maintenance of health, Acheloas was the acute soothing relief, the cool compress that's applied to a burning brow. Acheloas was also considered to be the muse of creative expression. In a completely different stream of mythology, noted by the Byzantine poet and grammarian Zetzes, Acheloas is stripped of her medicinal robes and crowned as one of the original muses, the goddesses dedicated to inspiring literature, science, and the arts. This transformation isn't as contradictory as it looks on the surface. To the ancient Greeks, art, music, and poetry, they weren't mere entertainment. They were profound therapeutic technologies. Song was used to soothe fractured minds and alleviate deep emotional grief. If Acheloas is she who washes away pain, what better way to do so than through the transcendent healing frequency of a divinely inspired melody? Acheloas is also considered to be the matriarch of the sirens and water nymphs. So finally, we do run into this darker, more hypnotic side of her name. Acheloas is also used as a general collective surname or family designation for the sirens. The sirens were the famous bird women who sang beautiful, intoxicating melodies that lured sailors to their dooms. In this lineage, they are the daughters of the primordial river god Acheloas. Furthermore, the term Acheloas was frequently used as a blanket title for water nymphs, and the water nymphs were these minor female nature deities who inhabited clean springs, rivers, and sacred wells. When you synthesize these three lineages, a stunning, comprehensive picture of this goddess begins to emerge. Acheloas is the divine personification of healing waters and sound frequencies. She represents the dual nature of water and song. It can be a soothing, life-giving river that cleanses a wound, or it can be a hypnotic ocean that pulls you deep down into your subconscious. In our world today, we are living through this unmitigated epidemic of chronic pain, and this isn't just physical inflammation, it's profound emotional, mental, and even nervous system burnout. We are a culture that is chronically overstimulated, we're deeply ungrounded, and constantly running on the survival adrenaline of modern productivity. We have plenty of medications that mask our symptoms, but we often lack the spiritual and emotional mechanisms to actually wash the pain away from our energetic vessels. This is exactly why a connection to Akaloas is so vital today. Akaloas doesn't fight pain. She doesn't ask you to wage war against your body or even aggressively conquer your illnesses. Her medicine is entirely fluid. It's passive and it is somatic. She reminds us of the ancient metaphysical law of water. Water doesn't break through stone by brute force, but by smoothly wrapping around it, softening it, and slowly carrying the debris away down the stream. When you connect with Akaloas, you're connecting with the therapeutic power of the cycles. Just as the moon expands and contracts every month, your energy, your body, and your grief will have periods of fullness and periods of complete emptiness. Akaloas teaches you to stop demanding constant, unyielding productivity from a body that was designed to flow like the tides. She acts as a divine intermediary for your nervous system. By working with her, you learn to drop out of the frantic, dualistic, analytical chatter of the brain and drop down into the raw, intuitive intelligence of the body. She helps you identify where trauma, stress, and unexpressed tears have become physically stagnant in your muscles and in your tissues, providing the soothing lunar containment that's necessary to finally let those blockages dissolve. If you feel the gentle pull of this ancient lunar healer and you want to incorporate her into your mystical repertoire, you don't need an ancient Greek oracle to do so. You can build a sanctuary for her right in your own home. So inviting her into your space, you want to create an altar that mirrors her elemental and her celestial associations. So number one, the element of water. So you can consider placing a beautiful ceramic bowl or any type of clean crystal bowl and fill it with pure spring water and place this at the center of her space. Of course, you can charge this water under the light of the moon to draw on her lunar medicine if you would like. Number two, we need to consider the voice of the wind. So hang a small, high-quality set of brass or even bronze wind chimes near a window or an outdoor space where you do your spiritual work. Let the sound of the chimes serve as a real-time reminder of the whispering groves of Dodona. And then we need to consider the stones of the sea or the stones of the moon. So decorate her altar with stones that embody fluid, emotional healing, and even lunar reflections such as moonstone or aquamarine or selenite or even sea glass. When we leave offerings for Akaloas, think of things that denote purity, cooling relief, and even artistic beauty. So number one, pouring libations. So you can offer clean, cold spring water or even raw honey dissolved in warm milk or white wine poured directly onto the earth or even in her sacred bowl. We also want to consider some sort of aromatic smoke. So you can burn clean, soothing botanicals, maybe like white willow bark, myrrh, or even lavender to calm the ambient energy of your room. And then lastly, the gift of song. Because of her lineage as a muse and the mother of the sirens, you can offer her your creative energy. So you can play a gentle instrument, you can sing, or simply play beautiful ambient music by her altar as an intentional acoustic offering. So in the end, Akaloas reminds us that healing doesn't always require this massive, dramatic battle. Sometimes the most profound transformation happens when we simply stop fighting, when we just step into that cool current and allow our pain to be gently washed away.